This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Don and Peter with you until 7 o'clock. ENN is coming up at 6, but it's a pleasure to welcome in one-third of the Monday Night Football booth, and I think a future general manager in this league is Lewis Riddick, and he joins us here on the Michael Kay Show. It's Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
I threw this out to Steve Levy, and I want to just mention it to you. The job you guys did on that Baltimore-Cleveland game was just amazing. And I know you got the job a long time ago, but I think great games make great broadcasts, and I thought you guys nailed it on Monday.
Yeah, we were excited as heck going into that game. We thought it had the potential to be a very good game. We know it was a very important game for different reasons for both teams, which generally leads to the players taking the level of play up another notch, and that happened, and then some. And on top of it, even though it was a limited crowd, that place was loud, and it felt like a big game. Mm. It really did, and the game kind of sold itself. We were having a blast, so it had everything that you could want, a lot of drama, good hitting, big plays. I mean, that as a broadcaster, you couldn't ask for anything more.
You know, full disclosure, you have been interviewing. You were in Houston, and you're going to have Detroit tomorrow. So you're going through the process of trying to get back into the NFL as a GM. So you're a perfect person to ask this question. From a head coaching perspective, I'm sure it's the same in the executive level. What makes a franchise attractive? And do the Jets have those attributes of being considered an attractive job?
Ownership, leadership, access to resources, support, having enough capital in order to improve the football team in terms of personnel capital, which means obviously salary cap space and draft capital. Those are the things that really grab people's attention, you know, on a big macro level right from the get-go, with ownership being the very, very top of the list. Now, obviously, as you continue to move through it and you start to look at the roster, everyone wants a franchise quarterback in place if they can get it. They want some of the key critical positions to be largely staffed if you can get it, meaning you have a quarterback, maybe you have a pass rusher, you have a corner, you have a solid offensive line and or a left tackle, you have a number one wideout. Now, most times when you have all that stuff in place, they usually aren't looking to change things now, are they? Because they're probably winning football games. But you want to check off as many of those things, I'm sure, when people are looking at potential job openings. They want to see how many of those things do they have in place, or how easy would it be for them to fill those things. And that's how, generally speaking, prospective GM and head coaching candidates are going to prioritize. And that's no secret. It's been that way since back in the Bill Walsh days. Those are the kind of things that you look for. And do the Jets have it? Look, they're going to have a lot of draft capital. They're going to have a lot of cap space. The quarterback position remains to be seen whether or not that is something that they feel they have or don't have. And I'm sure some people are going to say they have a quarterback. Others are going to say we should turn the page. And that's the subjective nature of quarterback evaluation. As far as ownership and their support and their willingness to give people access to the resources that they need and the equipment that they need to be competitive at the highest level, I don't know the ownership group at the Jets. I don't know what they're willing to do and what they're not willing to do as far as supporting the football operation. It sounds like it people have that there. So it'll be interesting to see. Now, in their situation, obviously, the general manager is in place. Joe hasn't been there very long. And so then for head coaches, it's, philosophically, what does he feel? Does it marry up with what I feel as a head coach? that a team needs in order to be successful? Is our relationship one that can withstand the extremes? Because you know we're going to go through them. We're going to go through some low times. When we start having some good times, is it still going to be about us? Or is it going to all of a sudden be about, it was my doing that made this thing start to work? No, it was mine. Mm-hmm. See, those are the kind of things that through this entire process that head coaches are going to have to look at, Joe's going to have to look at. And that's what makes this game, especially at the professional level, so intriguing, because there's so many moving parts. There's so much that needs to be aligned in order for you to not just be successful, you know, 1 year, but to have sustained success, which is what everybody is looking for. And that's why we can talk about it for days.
Right.
Because there's just so much that goes into it.
Now, this is a very rare circumstance, Lewis, where there's someone who gets the coveted Monday Night Football job. But that's not really the dream job for that person. And for you, the dream job.
But hold on. Let me stop you there. That's not necessarily the case. And I put it this way.
Okay.
Let me put it this way. Monday Night Football is a dream job for me, because it's the pinnacle of broadcasting outside of broadcasting the Super Bowl too, which, I mean, and that's what every broadcaster, especially every live game analyst in football, would want to do. There's no bigger one single game event than the Super Bowl, other than, you know, over a number of days, the Olympics. I mean, that is the game. So in order to do that, that's like the utmost. But when it comes to football, there's no more of an iconic brand than Monday Night Football. So I have a great job that I'm trying to be the very best that ever.
And you're killing it, by the way.
That's my goal. Well, I appreciate that.
Would you walk away though? Is it as simple? And did you go into this job telling them, guys, I still want to be a GM, and if that comes up, that's really what I want to do?
No, I mean, look, not every situation is the same. Not every situation is the best fit for you and or the best fit for the team. What I'm going to tell you is ESPN knows that it has always been something that has been a goal of mine to be able to try and build a football team and build a championship football team. And they also know that I have been interested in talking to different places to see if it's the right fit, and if it was something that I think would provide me with a chance to be successful. They've been very supportive of that. I know people are saying, but now you're on Monday Night Football, so, you know, how is this still even a question? Well, because it's the National Football League, and it's a general manager role, and it's still something that you want to explore and see whether or not it's something that would be right for you. And I have great bosses at ESPN who understand that, who at the same time, you know, understand that I hold a real important role along with Steve and Brian on the Monday Night Football thing. So this is not just something that's like slam dunk, you know, he was just leaving and he used ESPN to get back to the league. I've never approached broadcasting as a stepping stone or as a vehicle to get back to the NFL. That's why my style of broadcasting and analyzing, quite honestly, I think has always been different than many other people who you could tell were using it as a stepping stone to get back to some other place.
Mm.
So I'm taking it truly as, you know, a day-by-day thing and really exploring this thing from A to Z. And I am flattered and honored to be able to be talking to the teams that I talk to, and we'll just see how it all plays out. Right. That's how it'll be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Lewis, you kind of touched on the decision that the Jets have on, do they have the quarterback or are they going to draft the quarterback? All the fans want Trevor Lawrence. I mean, if you were in their situation, what would you do? Do you see enough of Sam that you'd want to bring him back and trade the first overall pick? Or is Trevor Lawrence just too singular of a talent to ignore and to not draft?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard to really give that kind of that kind of decision, the magnitude of that kind of decision would require me to have a lot more information than just watching Sam on tape or talking to him for 15, 20 minutes like we did in a production call. It would require a lot more intimate knowledge about him and where he is at physically, mentally, emotionally in his development than what I have in order to make that call. Now, obviously, looking at Trevor Lawrence, watching him play, hearing what Dabo Swinney says about him, hear what opposing coaches say about him, it's not hard to figure out that this kid is pretty unique and that he's pretty special. Then he's probably going to be pretty damn good. That being said, I mean, when people weren't talking about Sam Darnold in the same way that they're talking about Trevor Lawrence, but there were plenty of people who, if you go back through the archives and pull out the tape, who were saying that Sam Darnold had everything you needed to win a Super Bowl. Everything. Had mobility, smart, arm strength, accuracy, needed to improve mechanics and consistency with footwork and body positioning in the pocket, but this guy had it all. He had it. Now all of a sudden it's like, he's broken. You know what? He's probably not that good. Who's next? Without really looking at the entire situation and understanding that, could anybody really have succeeded with what the Jets were providing him over the past couple of years? Could anybody have, you know, fared any better than him? So why would you just lay it at his feet and say, you know what, let's just get whatever's new coming down the assembly line and let's try one of these. Let's try a bigger and better version because he would have been able to overcome all this stuff. That's not even realistic. So there's a lot to take into consideration before making that kind of decision. Mm. And right now, because of how bad the Jets have been this year, I think everybody's ready to just go ahead and just kind of like you take your hand and just take all the dominoes on the table and just sweep them on the floor. They're ready to just sweep the whole thing clean, minus a few players, and start over new because it just looks so bad. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair because that's just not the way football is. It's a lot more nuanced than that, especially when you're talking about quarterback play. And Sam right now seems to be getting caught up in just how bad everything else is, and he's just being thrown into all of it, where I don't know who could have succeeded given the offensive line he had at his disposal, for the most part, the weaponry he had at his disposal, for the most part, the level of complementary football that was being employed there. There was just no way. He was not set up to succeed in any way. So how can you, without me being there and knowing every detail, I don't know if that's the right move for them. I just don't know. But I do know this. The kid is getting, you know, he's had a hell of a start to his career. Let's just put it that way. And it's not the one that you would envision for a young quarterback who you're hoping can become a franchise quarterback. That's not the start that you're looking for as far as surrounding him with things that can help him succeed. And I feel bad for him.
We're talking to Lewis Riddick from Monday Night Football, of course, on ESPN. And we got to ask you a couple things about the NFC East. Let's start with the Giants. Daniel Jones is beat up right now. He looked ineffective, beat up last week against Arizona. Don and I personally do not think it makes sense to try to push forward with him this week. What do you think the Giants should do with Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I think what they should do is really rely on their medical team and their strength and rehab team to give them the best advice as far as, one, can the young man protect himself? Two, does he have enough mobility going forward to be able to execute the offense at a relatively high level and really rely on that in conjunction with, you know, obviously the coaching staff input. And, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, when you're in it like this and you're fighting like crazy to try and, you know, earn a postseason berth and you're fighting like crazy to try and win football games because that's what the NFL is about. When it comes to injuries, you really have to make sure that you are relying on the people who are there to advise you in situations like this so it doesn't become something that's emotional and something that becomes a situation where you're just, you know, you're serving your own desires instead of really serving what's best for the player himself. And so I'm hoping they make a good decision for him. I'm hoping they protect the young man so he doesn't, you know, put himself in harm's way while at the same time giving themselves a good chance to win football games and continue to compete. But I'm very sensitive to that kind of thing as far as what's best for a player, because I know this. Even though we get the reports as far as what a player's health status is, and maybe we can see what we think the health status is of the player, we don't really know. There's a lot of work that goes into getting these guys ready and making determinations about whether or not they can play. I trust the Giants to do what's best for this guy and do what's best for their football team.
And what are you thinking about Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia?
Wow. I'll be the first to admit I was shocked. I was shocked at how well the team responded to his presence first and foremost. They just seemed energized. I mean, you can't deny that. And I shouldn't say I was shocked because we all know that Jalen is made up of the right stuff. He showed that at Oklahoma and Alabama before that. But I was shocked at how against a ferocious defense that had just been kicking the you-know-what out of everybody, he never blinked. He never flinched. And they tagged him a few times when he let the ball go, and he was still throwing strikes. And he kept doing it. And then, obviously, the mobility with his legs, whether it be in scramble situations or design runs, he delivered the goods, man. And an egg. And I was just shocked. I was shocked. And when I said that this could get ugly, that's one of the phrases that people were, like, harping on. Well, it didn't get ugly, now did it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look, this wasn't a knock against Jalen. It was giving credit where credit is due to a New Orleans Saints defense that had snuffed out everybody. And the Eagles, who hadn't played very well. So my hat's off to Jalen Hurts. The guy is a supreme, supreme competitor. I'm interested to see now, after people get a little bit of a look at him, how he's going to respond this time. That's where the test comes, right? Now that people got to look at you, how are you going to respond when people start game planning for you?
Yeah, because it's on, because they still have a chance. Lewis, I got about 30 seconds.
Right.
We've had some fun on the show when we talk about Monday Night Football because we're so close to Steve Levy that sometimes I think that you sound like Brian or Brian sounds like you a little bit. Is that a thing? Have you heard that from anybody?
Yeah, I have. I mean, there's been times when people go, why did Riddick say that? And I'm like, newsflash, I didn't say that. All right? That was Brian who said that. And, you know, it's funny because my wife said, you sound nothing like him. I've had people say, you sound a lot like him. I've had people say, why is it so hard for people to determine who's who? Because it's not a problem to me. But you know what? I mean, we all hear things differently. I have heard that before. I don't know. Maybe I should just say, hey, this is Lewis talking, and now and go from there. Maybe I should identify myself.
Honestly, it doesn't matter because, like, all three are doing such a great job, so it's not like you have to distance yourself from anything he says.
No, and that's not what I'm saying. But
I know.
It is funny when people do that. It is funny.
Yeah, it is funny. Lewis, good luck in everything that you're doing, man. You're killing it on Monday Night Football. Good luck with all the interviews, and we'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, he's the best, Peter. He's so thoughtful with his answers, and he's right. You could have a couple of different dream jobs, right? I mean, he understands the significance of the job that he has, but he wants to work in this league. You know, he's done it before in Philadelphia and Washington. He wants to be a general manager, and I hope he gets the opportunity.
Yeah, I don't know how you hear him if you're a fan of a team and not think like, yeah, I trust the keys to that guy.
It's something he wants, and hopefully he'll get it. More of your calls coming up. BNN at 6 o'clock. It's Don and Peter on the K Show on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.